Hey folks, as we enter the Equinox here, just a quick reminder that these tend to be the more fun parts of the ride here on this planet. We tend to enjoy more geomagnetic disturbances thanks to the magnetosphere being at its weakest these times of year. So just bear that in mind. But this evening I bring a red blaring alert, something that is just absolutely screaming alarm. You know, I mentioned last time that Asia was scrambling to find alternative sources for their wheat because they tend to import from Australia, but the Aussie drought, as it says here, has decimated their yields. As you know, we've covered that here extensively. At present, Asian wheat importers, including blah blah blah, they are now importing from the Black Sea region, Ukraine, Russia, but Russia and Ukraine are expected to run out of their surplus supplies. And then this, export policies shrink the global wheat supply and increase uncertainty. Now this is screaming a problem here. It's no secret that global wheat production will fall this year due to unfavorable weather across the EU, Black Sea, Kazakhstan, Russia, Ukraine, Australia, Argentina, at any rate, government policies are further constraining the global wheat supply, increasing costs and uncertainty for global wheat buyers. Currently, there are two countries that have already changed their export policies, Argentina and Ukraine. And a third, Russia, is considering it. These three countries constitute 26% of the global wheat supply. A quarter of the global wheat supply is currently under lockdown or being considered not to be exported to the countries that depend on it, which is why Asia is looking frantically, even though China has massive stocks of wheat. You know, we've looked at this situation a lot, and these are, I don't know what else to say, these are red bells ringing right now. This is a massive situation. We are on the brink of food shock. And so I've said enough. Let's go on. Looking at Florence, Hurricane Florence has dumped tons of water across North Carolina. You know, Wilmington obviously getting nailed with 30 to 50 inches of rain and a lot of the area here. What is that doing? We're starting to get some sense of that. The damage reports are coming in from some places. Let's go on here. Florence, as of just a few hours ago, has killed 5,500 pigs and 3.4 million chickens. These numbers are expected to rise as many farms are still completely inaccessible. They're still so flooded out that farmers can't even get back there. So obviously, some of those farmers, as they gain access to their properties, right? This is an ongoing situation there. So we'll keep an eye on that. And I wanted to point out that the numbers we're getting there, and even as those numbers evolve, are still only a fraction of what we can appreciate from this storm long term. You know, I covered the flooding in Kerala in India, but here's a piece. Post floods, pineapple farmers face crisis. Heavy rain and flooding have led to outbreak of plant diseases. Another example of the secondary and tertiary effects of these symptoms of the Grand Solar Minimum. After the floods, pineapple farmers in the district have been plunged into a crisis with outbreak of plant diseases, fungal diseases, and rot are major problems. Though only 5% of the plants actually went underwater during the severe flooding in August, now about half of the fruits over the coming 3 months may be lost to these diseases. Besides that crop loss, deformation and stunted growth will also lead to losses. So it's not just what we're seeing now, but it's what we can expect to see from the secondary effects, the long-standing, and I mean, we talked about the massive pits in North Carolina, the coal ash problems, the lagoons of pig manure were mentioned in the AP, right, as potential sources of contamination during flooding. So I do expect to see those numbers rise, not just as farmers gain access to their property, but as some of these effects really play out, and we'll gain a sense for what those, you know, we can't possibly imagine them now. Let's watch. We'll see. Let's keep moving. From Germany, this is another example of how I think these numbers are understated, okay? In fact, somebody else is going to take this apart for us. The World Apple and Pear Association, WAPA, announced that the EU apple and pear crop forecast was terrific. They said it's a 36% increase compared to the well, compared to the record low last year in 2017 with some pretty severe losses, but still it's a record now. And it's also, in fact, the largest apple production in the U.S., in the EU ever. That sounds great. I'm ready to celebrate that. But luckily, we have the Southeast farmer here to really dig into that. The EU apple crop forecast does not tell the full story. According to WAPA, there's a huge increase in the tons of EU-grown apples, but this is misleading and it does not consider the global context behind these figures. Announcing a bumper crop, it totally ignores the fact that 2017 was miserable, whilst the European crop forecast suggests that this is only going to be a 3% increase on the 3-year average, so it's really not a big deal, right? Last year was miserable, and then the 3-year average, we're only 3% above, so it's actually kind of down. The short crop in 2017 means there are no fruit stocks left. There's no fresh fruit. There's no concentrate for consumers. What's more, so because of last year, we're already behind, and we aren't able to catch up this year. And what's more, he continues, Akak continues, despite the small growth in forecasts across Europe, increases are not consistent on a global level. China has reported a crop production of around 12 million tons, which is in fact the equivalent of the entire European crop altogether. So on a global basis, we're way down. The global context here. Yeah, and that's what I'm trying to bring you here on the Ice Age Farmer channel. Let's look around a little bit more. It's officially now the snowiest September on record for Edmonton, with the potential for another 20 centimeters of snow. It is, of course, still summer here in the Northern Hemisphere, although you wouldn't know it with September snow records already being broken in Alberta. In New Zealand, a really sad tale. Heavy rainfall and strong southeasterly gales blasted them unrelentingly in the first week of September, and it could not have come at a worse time for sheep farmers, with many right in the middle of lambing. Some farmers have reported their losses were up to 20% of their lamb crop. It's a devastating blow to farmers and to their morale. Total losses are expected to be over 100,000 lambs. That's a significant dent in the 2018 lamb crop tally, in a season when the lamb crop was already expected to be the lowest on record. Lowest on record. Australia. Southern frost zaps at least 1 million metric tons from the Western Australia crop, now seen at 15. We covered these frosts, but we're now again gaining a sense of appreciation for how big they are. Widespread and severe frosts centered on Western Australia's Great Southern Region have slashed at least 1 million tons from the winter crop. It's going to hit the barley hard. It could take half the yield off some crops. Canola expected to be hit hard. Before the frost, we are talking about a canola crop as being the lowest in 5 years. Now it's probably the lowest in 10 years. So we're moving the records back even further. Turkey, tons of watermelons damaged in Moose due to a hailstorm. As many as 3 million square feet have been damaged due to a 5-hour-long hailstorm in Moose, which is in southeastern Turkey. A majority of the people in that area earn their living through watermelon production. Germany, potato shortage, which was expected. We've talked about this before, but now we're seeing this week the German Farming Society warned that the nation faces a severe potato shortage as a consequence of the drought this summer. We're expecting, quote, one of the smallest potato harvests of all time in Germany. Wow. India, another hailstorm, North Kashmir. We've suffered in Sopor around 35% damage to fruit and paddy crops, according to officials. 7-9% of fruit crops, 15-20% of paddy crops in those hailstorms. Let's keep going. Philippines, where they just went through Mangkhut. Paddy rice losses from the typhoon exceed forecasts. So again, we see the damage estimates were understated. The media is really working to hide this from you. You get that sense? I'm giving you raw data, but you should be getting the sense that these things are systematically being hidden. The Philippines lost a total of 250,000 tons of paddy. This exceeds the worst case forecast by 60%. I also wanted to point out from the CME group here, Chicago Mercantile Exchange, that the options year over year for Kansas City hard red winter wheat are indeed up. They're double, 119%. What else would you expect from these crop losses? In the UK, shop prices are rising. Britain's shop prices have risen for the first time in more than 5 years. I'll zoom in here. As the heat wave pushed up the drought, pushed up the cost of fruit and vegetables, food inflation jumped to a seven-month high of 1.9% in August. Same thing happened in China. Strong Chinese inflation, mainly driven by food price. China's headline CPI rose to a six-month high of 2.5%. This almost entirely came from food prices. I'll zoom in here to drive this home, folks. Because as these prices are rising, there's a point at which, as I mentioned at the front of this video, the system shuts down. The countries close their borders. They stop the exports to protect their folks, their own citizens. And, you know, I wanted to point out also, after I point out my last video, I heard from several folks in Europe who were unable to get to some of the links, including the one from the Wall Street Journal. Unavailable due to legal reasons, HTTP 451, a status code that was, we can look that up on Wikipedia, was added as a reference to Fahrenheit 451, the book burning there. This content was unavailable due to legal reasons. So they've broken the internet. The censorship is happening now because we're seeing 50, 60, 90, 100% crop losses, food prices rising rapidly. Of course, the information is being cut off because otherwise the anthropogenic global warming narrative would be shattered. And indeed, that's happening right now. And that's why the censorship is crashing down. I wanted to point out, we saw Google inadvertently release a piece of code today that flipped the settings on, like half, you know, everybody's phone out there suddenly went into airplane mode, basically, or battery saving mode. And this really accidentally showed their hands. The tech giant. Let's see here. This was an internal experiment to test battery saving features. It was mistakenly rolled out to more users than intended. And in doing so, we accidentally sort of showed you our hand. We can control every aspect of that device that you have in your hand. Yeah, you thought it was yours. It's ours. And you can use it as long as you want, but we retain control over it. We're watching everything you do. You better understand. You better understand. And folks, they're cracking down now on climate truth under the pretense of Alex Jones. They do not want this truth out there as the climate is going crazy, and it is. And indeed, you need to be taking steps every day to ensure your family's food security in the times ahead, because the growing season is shrinking and the modern agricultural systems are falling over. We're seeing that. I'm demonstrating that. It's pretty clear. And the only solution, the only way to become confident in your own ability to eat in the days ahead is to grow that food. So get to it, folks. Let's build a world of abundance. Thanks for watching. Take care.